Good morning and welcome to Local Matters. This is Ben Rogers, and I am delighted to have the Jackson County Mayor, Randy Heady, on with me. He has been on before. He is a good guest, a good friend of mine. We've kind of grown up together in county government, and I'm thankful to do that with you because we've learned a lot from each other, and I feel like we've helped each other. You've helped me, I've helped you, and I always love having you on because you always bring good information to me. I had Denny Wayne on last week. He has good information from his area. You got good information from your area. North of Putnam, you are. He's south. And so just a good conversation. So how are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for the kind words. And I cannot tell you how much the help you've been to me. You already know that. That's how we struck a friendship and got to know each other. We spent many hours on the phone and working at night and in your office and at my courthouse. And I'm just telling you, you've been I don't know what we'd do without CTAS and people like you with CTAS that helps us make sure that we stay online and doing the things that we ought to be doing.
Well, I appreciate that. And I think I brought this up before. You and I really started hitting it off about 10 years ago and was doing reapportionment.
That's right.
You know, and you were on that committee. And
reappraisal.
You kind of served on that committee and really took a leadership role, I think, on that committee, and you wanted to do the right thing as far as drawing the lines for the people in Jackson County, and I look forward to doing that again with you this year, later on in the year, but you this time as county mayor, so we'll work together with the election administrator and get that done. So, I have you in here to talk about a multitude of things, and we'll cover as much as time allows, but, one, we're going to talk about the budget and what Jackson County is looking like for next fiscal year, ARP funds. I'm hitting everybody up for that. What do you think you're going to use it for? What kind of processes? But I really want to touch base on something near and dear to everybody's heart in Upper Cumberland, especially right now, especially since really COVID has hit, but now that we're getting out of the pandemic and we're kind of getting back to normal. And we saw that a couple weeks ago in Gatlinburg, where you and I were attending a Tennessee County Services Association meeting where maybe 5 people out of 400 had their mask on.
That's true.
And I think a lot of people there probably had the vaccine. I think a lot of people there are ready to get back to normal. And, so it was a good conference. I learned a lot. But, something near and dear to our heart right now is workforce development. And you're very involved with that, obviously being Jackson County mayor, and you're involved with that with the other Upper Cumberland mayors. We are struggling in that area, right?
That is absolutely correct. You can't find people right now to go to work. And unfortunately, I've never seen a time in my lifetime where it's been such a struggle. We go through periods, I worked in the private world, private sector my whole life. Mm-hmm. And so before becoming county mayor, and we always had trouble finding people to work, but not just to hire. And now you just ain't got there's not a business that I know of that needs help that's got all the help they need or close. I've got factories calling me, Randy, what can we do? Mayor, is there anything you can do to help me get people in here? And I tell you, we've went just as far. You wouldn't believe this. I called the local career coach at Jackson County High School. His name's Kevin Thomas, a really awesome feller. He's also the basketball coach, but I said, I've got a factory that needs 15 people, and they'd be excited if you'd bring some high school seniors over there, and they'd give them a tour of the plant, show them some job openings they've got, let them interview them, and they would interview the kids, or the young men and women. And he said, I'll see what I can do. So he found 3 kids, 3 young adults, I should say, to go. And but he said, I was hoping you'd be thankful for 3, and I'm like, well, I was hoping for a whole lot more than 3, right? But anyways, they did, and one of them got a job that day, and the other one said, the day I turn 18, I'll be back. So that's the limit right now that we're going, just to try to find people to go to work.
And let's talk about that, because of course you became mayor prior to 18 through an appointment filling a vacancy, but you've been on the commission years before that. So this is, county government wasn't new to you, but years ago, even back in 18, county mayors, especially new ones, were running on the platform that they were going to help create more jobs.
That's exactly right.
And now we're as county government officials, you and me as a commissioner and our other counterparts throughout the Upper Cumberland, we have the jobs.
Yeah.
The jobs are available. We don't have people to fill those jobs. Well, we do. There's people to fill them. They're just not filling them.
That's correct.
And we know What is your opinion? Why are we not filling those jobs?
I don't know. It's a multiple. I think it's multiple. Number one, a workforce issue. We had workforce issues before the pandemic. Now they are at an alarming place, you know, in where we are in local government or where we are as counties, put it that way. It wasn't that we didn't have it. I really believe that there is so, you know, we can blame it on the $300 plus. I do believe that's a part of it. I also believe that people have gotten comfortable staying home and doing nothing. And so going back to work, I mean, if I can draw a check and stay home and continue to go fishing or do the things around the house or have more time with my kids, I mean, all these things I love, right? And so I get that. But I think there's multiple reasons. And then we have the ones that are out there that was there before. We have people that incarcerated. How do we get them back in the workforce before they get back into incarceration? How do we get people off of drugs and get them back to work? You know, and I think that we're always looking for that magical thing. And I think it's going to have to come down to just hard work. What do we do different? Sure. You know, because the bottom line is we got to have people to work, and we don't have it. I'm going to tell you, it's scary to me, you know, answering RFIs. So, yeah, because you're right. Every mayor runs on, I'm going to bring jobs into the community or better paying jobs, and you run on that. I didn't. I'm no different. Right. I said, I'm going to work hard for you to bring in better jobs into my community, and I have. Mm-hmm. I've busted my tail to do that. I don't have a lot to show for it, but it doesn't mean I'm not doing it. I promise you I'm out there. But the deal is now, it just scares me to death. What if I landed a factory that wanted to employ 75 people that pays $15, $16 an hour? Now, I'm just going to tell you, it ain't been 2 years ago that an employer coming in going to hire 75 people that paid $15, $16 an hour. I would have done cartwheels and I would have been assured of another 4 years, right?
Right.
Okay, that's just the facts. Today, you've got help wanted, starting to pay $15 an hour. And that sign's still up, and it's been up now for a month.
I saw it yesterday.
Yeah, that's all over the Upper Cumberland. That's in Jackson County. That's in Putnam County. Matter of fact, you have other counties saying, I'll pay you $25 an hour if you'll drive an hour. And that's an entry-level job with incentives. I mean, it's just ridiculous right now. You know, and a bit of good news on that, I'm highly involved in with the workforce and trying to generate workforce is what I'm trying to say. You know, we was at a meeting this morning where we were told, or at lunch today, where we were told there was a job fair in Overton County, and there was 24 employers at the job fair. Now, those things have been ridiculously ineffective lately.
Right.
I mean, they have just not been much use. Online job fairs have done better than in person. But they had 42 people, if I'm not mistaken, to show up to that job fair. And I want you to know that excited more people than I've seen anything else excite. We got excited over 42 people because we have not seen that number. It ain't been 2 weeks ago or three where I heard of a job fair in Cookeville for Afena where they was going to hire 200-something jobs and 20 people showed up at the job fair. And not bad paying jobs,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And so, and I don't know how throwing money at it is going to help. Everybody's trying to throw money at this, and I don't think throwing money at it's going to help. I think it's the governor doing this opting out. I think that's going to have an effect,
right?
I didn't think that it would have as big effect that maybe it'll have. I thought it was encouraging today to hear that 42 people showed up at a job fair.
Sure.
Okay. So maybe it's going to have a bigger effect. I know it's not taking effect. I'm talking about the 300 extra, but it's going to be. And so if you're somebody who's drawing that and you're like, wait a minute, my money's fixing to run out. I got an opportunity to find a good job. Maybe that's what caused it. I don't know. But I do think that it plays a role. Again, I heard also something encouraging today at that workforce meeting was there was an employer who couldn't hire nobody. And so what they did was interviewed their own employees. And people were leaving.
Oh, okay.
They were quitting and leaving. Yeah. And they wanted to know why. Was it because they didn't pay enough money? What was it? And they had four reasons. And number one was, let me see if I can get this right because I'm going to mess this up. So if I get it out of order, don't hold it against me. But I think number one was quality of life and flexibility of life. In other words, they were having to work too much. They had gotten used to COVID when the plant was shut down, being able to stay home and do things, something I mentioned a minute ago. So that was one. Number two was, I can't remember what number two was. It might have been work environment. Number three was leadership.
Yeah.
They didn't like the leadership that was in the factory, which I think sometimes is an issue.
Sure.
With employers. And then number four was money.
Yeah.
So when has pay been at the bottom of the reason somebody left?
Right.
As an average.
It's usually at the top.
It's usually number one.
Right.
We always hear that wage is number one. And I just don't think that that's number one anymore. And I think that shows it. And so we got to figure out how we fix this. I think it's going to take a team effort. One of the things that we did the other day was the workforce or the one-stop shop person that comes to my county one day a week. We're going to try to team them up. So workforce came down and we had a brainstorming session, and we're going to try to team them up with a mental health facilitator that's in the county, because mental health and drug abuse go hand in hand. And so typically if you're being a caseworker for someone with mental health, they typically, not always, but a lot of times have drug abuse issues also, right? So we're going to try to put those two together,
right,
and see if we can't find a way to bridge that gap when these people, as they're getting better in the rehabilitation, get them back into the workforce.
Wow.
And do it through our one-stop shop or American Job Center person that's there, and try to put them back in, because if we've got them working side by side in the community, in the county, at one place, then I think our chances of success are better. So that was one of the cool things I thought come out of our meeting the other day.
That sounds good. And I'm not done. We've spent a segment on it, but I'm not done talking about this. A couple more things I want to mention. This has Ben Rogers on Local Matters. My guest is Jackson County Mayor Randy Heady. Great man. We're going to hear more from him in just a moment when we come back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. This has Ben Rogers. Randy Heady is my guest from Jackson County. He is the mayor there. Been talking about workforce development and a lot of good information and a great perspective from the mayor, and just some enlightening information from, you know, why are we having a workforce issue? And we've covered a lot, but I'll say this, Randy, it's one of those things where you see McDonald's advertising $14 an hour. You see Wendy's trying to match that, or Burger King or whatever. You know, it's not just industry. Yeah, and I'll say this. I feel like since you became mayor, you've brought in a couple of businesses that's multiple jobs, correct?
Correct.
And have you had anything leave since you've been mayor?
No, not since I've been in.
Since you've been mayor.
That's
There's
right.
one that left before that.
Right.
But y'all are trying to make up for that.
We are.
But you mentioned last segment that you may have some trouble filling positions there, so it's hard to recruit industry because you can't guarantee the workforce. And that's everywhere.
Yeah.
That's in Putnam County. That's all over the state of Tennessee. And so my thoughts simply are this, which may not mean anything, but you've got fast food chains offering $14 an hour in benefits, and still they can't hire anybody. You know, and it's people have to want to get back out there and work.
That's correct.
And Governor Lee's thing ends, what, July 3rd. Okay.
July 3rd.
So he made a decision to stop the unemployment money, and so people may be more apt to go back and try to find some jobs. There are plenty out there, right?
Yeah, they're everywhere.
And so I'm hoping this workforce thing can improve, because we still want businesses to open up and give back to our communities. And the only way they can do that is to have workforce. I have seen so many restaurants close or cut their hours back because they don't have anybody to work.
That's correct.
And it blows my mind.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
I never thought we would have more jobs available than people. Because like we said before, county mayors and commissioners even run on the platform of getting and creating more jobs for people to have a better quality of life, have good paying jobs where they can live where they are instead of traveling to another county and or whatever and have these good paying jobs. And it's just not possible. As far as county government goes, are y'all having hard time maintaining county employees?
We are. I mean, the jail, our local jail, is struggling, you know, to keep corrections officers.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt that the pay it needs to be adjusted. We've got to work hard on that, and we're discussing that now and trying to be creative in how we do that. And I'm hoping that we can work a deal out to where we can be creative and give some more pay, especially in the meantime. With COVID, there's been some hits, you know, and we'll talk about that, I know, in another segment. But, you know, I believe there's various reasons why people are not working, and we talked about them. I do think that people have gotten comfortable staying at home. I do think that the stimulus checks, our bonus money, $300 if you're laid off, that extra money, when you're drawing $14 an hour to sit at the house and hang out with your kids or do things you like to do. And I'm not being mean. I'm not being critical. Just saying, but when you're making that kind of money, you won't go to work for 16 because that's just a $2 raise on the hour. So why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just continue to ride that out as long as you would? And that's human nature. I'm not talking bad about anybody. If I wasn't in the position I'm in today and I was at home drawing money and I could get by, why would I go back to work? I'd wait till it ended, and when it ended, I'd go find a job because I'm going to be able to find a job.
Right.
They're out there. And a minute ago, we both laughed when you talked about you never thought you'd see this. And it's not a funny.
No.
It's not funny, but it's funny to us that we never thought we'd see this day. Mm-hmm. So I kind of wanted to make sure people knew we're not laughing at the situation. It is a horrible place to be where we are right now with workforce. And I don't have all the answers. I am not that guy. But I do know that trying to get at it, I'm so proud of my governor for taking the initiative to do this, and I think it'll make a difference. I'm hoping that it makes enough difference, and that's what I'm hoping. I don't think throwing money at it is going to work, because when McDonald's can throw $14 an hour to flip burgers and they can't hire nobody,
right?
That's telling you that it's not the pay issue.
Right.
I'm sorry, it's not.
Sure.
And it's just getting everybody to buy in. That throwing money at it is not going to fix it.
Yeah.
Because the state's offering how much? $10,000 bonus to go to work in the correction facility and ungodly pay on top of that. And I just, maybe I ought to rethink my profession.
Well, and that's a good perspective, Mayor, and I'm glad we mentioned that. Keeping in conjunction with the kind of workforce, but moving forward with some other topics, because I want to get to what, you know, Jackson County and something you've definitely been able to make an improvement on since you've been not only a commissioner and chair of the commission, but now county mayor is the budget process in Jackson County. What is the outlook right now for fiscal year 21-22 in Jackson County's budget?
I think that it's what's the right way to put this? I'm optimistic. It looks okay. It doesn't look bad. I don't know how deep you want to get into this, but revenues, you got revenues that are down.
Sure.
Okay. Then you got revenues that are up. And so the good thing about it is COVID has brought challenges that we didn't expect, and we've lost revenue. And then COVID brought some things that have been very profitable to the county, along with some decisions that our General Assembly made in the great state of Tennessee. I'm really proud of my General Assembly and making some decisions they made almost 2 years ago now that's made a huge, huge impact.
Sales tax.
Sales tax. Yeah. Point of origin, sales tax has been like the deciding thing. I actually got to do, and it's getting off topic, but I actually got to do an interview with somebody from Washington, D.C. that did an article for the Washington Post on how internet sales tax, point of origin, can make a difference in a small rural community. And they used Jackson County as their, the one of the features in the story. So I was real proud to get to do that.
Yeah, I saw that.
No, did you really?
Good job by you.
Pretty cool opportunity by me and given to me by the ECD. They was the one that said they ought to reach out to me. So I appreciate Tennessee Economic Community Development for putting me out there.
So how much is your sales tax up since this happened 2 years ago?
Oh, double.
Double?
Over double.
Wow.
We brought in roughly, well, you helped me with the budget and sure. You see my revenues. My county commission, they trust me, but they don't trust me. So what they do, my county, for all of you out there, my county commission is really cool. I love it. I got a great county commission. I love every one of them. I really do. My budget committee is awesome, but they let me do the budget and I do the projections, and then right before they, it goes to the commission. The only way that they will vote on my budget that I present is if and only if the great Mr. Ben Rogers gets an opportunity to come down and go over it and gives his seal of approval on it that he says it's okay. But my sales tax ran $200,000 roughly.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the county general, which mm-hmm. is, if you compare counties around me, other than maybe Clay or Pickett, and then sometimes theirs are above mine,
right?
But it's very small. But for us, it was, you know, well, I mean, we're doing 400 plus this year in sales tax revenue. Right. So that just gives you an idea. I know that the pandemic played a role in some of it, and they can say that stimulus played a role in some of it, and I'm sure it did. But it wouldn't have, none of it have happened if we hadn't had that point of origin, internet sales tax point of origin, would have never happened.
Sure.
And because of that, that has helped me overcome the lost revenue that I've had in the county. The lost revenue comes from our judicial system.
Yeah.
And so our judicial system has been shut down.
Right.
And at the beginning of COVID, the state made a decision to release a lot of prisoners. And as you know, county governments such as mine make a lot of money off of housing state inmates. And that's how we pay our jail payment and help fund our jail. Well, that's been a huge loss. And then our courts has been a loss. So when you look at the overall revenue, I mean, I'm probably going to miss revenue $400,000, $450,000.
Right.
And all county budgets are relative.
Right.
Whether you're huge or small,
right,
the money's the same. It's proportional. And so that's a huge loss for us.
Yeah, and let's talk about that next, because that's a lot of counties are facing that. But let's talk about what options there are when we come back in a moment. Welcome back. This has been Rogers with Local Matters. One more segment with Randy Heady, County Mayor in Jackson County. He's been wonderful. We were talking about the budget. Sales tax, as you said, has doubled since the new state law, point of sale for sales tax, where the sales tax is coming back to the county instead of maybe the city when somebody orders off or off the internet, online, Amazon, whatever, eBay, whatever people shop on. That's now helping the counties out. But you mentioned before we broke that the loss of revenues come because of COVID through the judicial system. You've had less state inmates.
Right.
And counties get reimbursed per day per state inmate they house in their jails. You've had no court action. So there's
correct.
No fines and fees that's come through really, hardly at all since COVID started. Supreme Court shut the court system down.
That's correct.
So there's loss of revenue. You mentioned roughly maybe a $400,000 loss on that side. But you're looking at sales tax has been up a double, which is maybe like $200,000 more. Here is where the stimulus package, the last one that was released, may help certain counties with the loss of revenue. And there's a big if in that. If a county has lost, excluding the school system now, we're
correct.
Taking the school system out, but we're taking everything else in the county and combining it. If a county has lost revenue from end of fiscal year 19 to this fiscal year, what the loss is, if there's a loss, then you can take some of the American Rescue Plan funds and replenish your fund balance where you lost money.
That's correct.
But if you didn't lose money overall, whereas sales tax was so high, such a big boost that it overtook losing money in the court system, then you don't get to replenish the court money that you lost or the fines and fees of the inmates. Kind of squirrely. I'm not being critical of the federal government, I promise you, but it's kind of interesting how that works, because there's $2.1 billion spread throughout Tennessee counties for the American Rescue Plan, and they're wanting you to make sure your county is financially stable, but they have so many restrictions on it.
That's correct.
And so we're not sure if you're going to be able to use that money to replace lost revenue, because we don't know what your revenue is going to be at the end of June, but we'll know in a few weeks.
Yes.
So that may be an option for y'all. Budget-wise, anything else that comes to mind for next fiscal year that's maybe changing, or is it going to look similar to what it was last year?
It's going to look similar overall, but there's a couple of things that we're really working on. And, nothing's written in stone for us. As you know, we don't get in a hurry on passing our budget. I know that state law says it's got to be passed on June the 30th, but there's also state law says it must be passed by September the 1st.
That's right.
So, with that being said, we typically wait and just to make sure all of our revenues come in so we get a good look at it. I absolutely could project now, but we don't get in a hurry, and there's no reason to change now. So the couple of the things that I'd want to mention that we're really trying to do is we don't do longevity pay. Okay, so if you bounce our starting pay against other counties, okay, around us, probably we're not going to be able to match what Putnam County does. And we're probably a little bit behind Smith, not much, and Macon. But some of the other counties, our starting pay is better than theirs. Where we lose is the longevity pay.
Okay.
So if you've been with Jackson County 1 year or 20 years, it makes no difference. The pay is the same.
Right.
So we are working hard on trying to implement longevity pay to try to say thank you.
Right.
Thank you that you've been a loyal worker in the community, in our county, whether it be law enforcement, EMS, or just you work for the county government inside the courthouse, for instance. There's a lot of perks to working 5 to 10 minutes from the house and having some flexibility.
Sure.
In a lot of cases when you do that, working in county government, you know that. It's really nice to have that flexibility. But there also ought to be some appreciation there. And this has been a goal of mine. Since being mayor, we've brought in really, really good health insurance. We've given raises every year that I've been in. And the one thing that I really feel like, and I didn't say good raises.
Right.
But the one thing I'd really like to do is give my people that work in my community and have stayed there so long and a thank you. And I think longevity pays fair.
Right.
It's also a built-in pay raise. Every year you're there, you're going to get something. Now, am I going to be able to do, and I'm going to present that, and I think it has a good chance of making it, okay, if I can get the revenue, if it finishes like I hope it does, and we can get the some state inmates back into the jail, and we can make, kind of assure ourselves that we're not going to have that lost revenue again. I'd be looking at a surplus in my county budget this year of enough money to be able to do this easy if it hadn't have been for the lost revenue, which is no fault of anybody in my community. But I'd really like to do half of what I want to do this year and the other half next year.
Sure.
And give my people a nice thank you. So that's the big piece. The other piece will be how do we spend the ARP money?
Right.
And we're probably not going to budget any of that. We're probably going to wait and just do budget amendments with that money because right now we still don't have a whole lot of clarity. I know you want to talk about ARP funds, and I don't know if you're ready to move into that or not.
Sure, go ahead.
But ARP money, we know that we can spend it on sewer, water, and broadband, and they will absolutely be no repercussions for that.
Right.
That's the only thing in there that's clear. Stipends and bonuses, yeah, that's a part of it, but it's not clear.
Right.
Not yet. Not enough for most local governments to take the plunge. I'm sure some will, but I don't see no reason to get in a hurry. And my budget committee or our budget committee with Jackson County, we want to take the slow approach. Let's don't make no mistakes. Let's don't have to pay any money back because we can't afford to. I get $2.2 million, Jackson County gets $2.2 million, and that would break us to have to pay back that $2.2 million. So we want to do it right. So I met with Mayor Randy Porter today after our other meetings.
Right.
It's been a day of meetings in Cookeville for me today. But I met with him about a joint project to bring water to both communities. It would help Jackson County and Putnam County residents. And so that's a project that we know that's going to be approved. We're just trying to get our get things laid out and planned and see if we can make this work moving forward. That's a project that we're looking at, okay? I did something similar with Clay County last year. Me and Dale Reagan, Mayor Reagan, joined forces, and our commissions did, and got a grant through ARC and to do waterline extensions, and it's a joint county. And I'd like to do the same thing with Mayor Porter.
Right.
When I first came in, Randy reached out to me and says, "Hey, if we ever get the opportunity, Mayor, I'd love to get water to some of my residents from the Jackson County side." And so now we have that opportunity. We're looking at it. We kind of want to see what the state's going to do.
Right.
We think the state's going to step up and want to give some money also for this kind of stuff through their $1 billion, $2 billion, I think, that they're getting.
Right.
And so we're going to try to go in partners with the state and each other and try to do that for our community. So I hope that happens. There's a couple other things that are on the table that I probably shouldn't mention on the right. radio at this time. Hopefully be able to mention it later. But we are also looking at trying to do another project that would also be using roughly, we don't know how many, but up to $500,000 of this ARP money. So that would highly benefit the residents of the county. And I'm hoping that they loosen the restrictions and get a little more clarity, and maybe we can develop some tourism. You know, that's also been mentioned. Again, it's not clear. That's not clear. And I'd love to use it to develop some tourism in the county. You know, take that money and develop Roaring River Park.
Right.
You know,
Jackson County, of course, I'm a little bit biased because my paternal grandmother is from Jackson County. You know this, you and I talk about it. It is a beautiful county, and it's not far off the interstate. It's there's a good highway going in and out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just several different ways. It's a beautiful county. There's so much opportunity there, and you're working towards that, but you got to have help, and you got to have other people buy in,
right,
not only from the community but through the state, and you're trying to do that. And I think so. You mentioned working with Mayor Porter and Mayor Reagan. Yeah, I will say this about up and coming the mayors, and I've said it before. Y'all do a really good job of working together. And I think that only benefits our area as a whole. You know, and as far as I can see, y'all get along with each other, but you seek out projects to work with. So kudos to you and Mayor Porter and Mayor Reagan for doing that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And that's it. I mean, I tell you, I've reached out to Olive Branch, and it's been received well. You know, all you hear when you go to the state, you know, people don't see county lines, and that's true.
Yeah.
But county mayors do,
right?
And so do counties. We take ownership of what we have, but what we got to remember is we're stronger together than we are divided.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people are buying into that. And of course, I'm a preacher also, so I take that literally, and it's the truth. It's just like your house, and I look at the Upper Cumberland, especially. Our core group, that we if we're working together, we have a whole lot better opportunity to get things done. And so I think the state likes that. Me and Porter done a collaboration. Me and Mayor Porter and Mayor Shelton did a collaboration. Mayor Martin's a part of that, and Mayor Williams too.
Right.
So that's a whole bunch of people I just mentioned, but
right,
we all did a group collaboration with me as the lead on it with the state to get a grant to look at helping our communities. Not today.
Yeah.
It'll be 10 years down the road.
Right.
But that project is ongoing, and hopefully some really good stuff will come out of that, and we'll have a project in the works 10 years from now when it gets time to put that into implementation. We can say, hey, here it is. Us county and city mayors 10 years ago put the work forward, and our predecessors, whoever they are, I don't know that I'd be doing this in 10 years,
right,
but here it is, and we'll have that prep work done for them so that they'd be able to move our communities forward. So I think that's how our mindset should be.
Sounds like to me that's a future show with having you and those mayors you mentioned on to talk about what you're doing.
It would be great.
So Mayor Hedy, we've flown by and we're out of time, but I appreciate you being here. Such a blessing to me individually, personally, but a blessing to my career. I want to thank you for what you do. And I appreciate the kind words you said earlier. Keep up the good work. I'm glad to have you as a Jackson County mayor. Hope everybody enjoyed this show. What a great guest I have. Hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy each other, and we'll see you next week.